Good morning, church.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I'm setting up here. Whew. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Now, in church, sometimes you hear a preacher talk, and sometimes you try to reply, right? The preacher always try to get a response from the crowd. Okay, so let's help me break some ice. I'm going to ask you some trivial questions, okay? And it's so trivial, you should be able to just shout the answer. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, first question. What's the name of our senior pastor, the male version? Sorry?
Richard.
Okay. The male version, yeah. The female version? Chrissy, the beloved wife of Okay. What's New Zealand national sports? Did you watch the game last night? Wow, what a game it is, eh? Wow, the Springboks dominated the first half, and the All Blacks scored a try at the end of the first half. The second half, the All Blacks dominated the second half, but the Springboks scored a try 15 seconds before the game ends, and the score was tied. That was an amazing game. I got all my kids watching, and my son like, because he's supporting All Blacks. Okay? All right, third trivial questions. What is 1 + 1? Yeah, some of you is like, is that a trick question? 1 + 1 = 2? Yes, it is 2. Now, this is a little bit harder. Malia touched a little bit about that. Who can tell me what is our website address? What is our website? Everynationauckland.city. You know, one of the things that I really like about our website is this page called People Matters. Okay, it has beautiful stories of just God doing fantastic things in the lives of our church family. You know, their journey of faith, how in their times of challenges, okay, God came through. God was there with them. And you know, if you have not checked it out, I really encourage you to jump onto our website, have a look at that, okay, scroll through, we have stories. And if you actually have stories that you think will encourage our church family, please speak to one of our staff, you know, and we would love to hear your stories, and we would love to put it up, okay? So we try to keep this fresh, we try to keep it going. In fact, we like testimonies so much that I'm not sure if you realize that when you actually come on in, there's a wall there, which we proudly call it, My Story, His Glory. Okay? Again, this is a wall where we try to keep updated with fresh testimonies of people, of families, of lives that have been touched by God, okay? Not all stories have a fantastic ending, but all stories has God's hand in it. Yeah? You know, yeah, we do like testimonies, and because the Bible even says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Okay, you know, when you read through all this testimony, sometimes it gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's like, ooh, yeah, triumphant, a good ending. It's like watching a good chick flick. So today, to help me in my sermon, I'll be sharing a few more stories about our church community, our church families. So bear with me as we do a mini marathon of chick flicks today. Who likes chick flicks? Oh, come on, don't be shy. Yeah, in fact, I see your hand up. But true story, there was one guy which I was discipling last time. I said, come on, let's go for this Marvel movies and stuff like that. He said, oh, actually, I'm a chick flick guy. I was like, oh, okay. But it's okay. He's secure enough to tell me that. So, you know, we ended watching up Notebook and see, you know what I'm talking about, a lot of you. Right, so don't pretend. Okay, so this is the text for our day. Okay, it's in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowships, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let me just quickly pray. Father, we thank you for stories of life that has been changed by you, Lord God. And Lord, even as today we continue our series on don't go to church, but be the church, Lord God. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you will speak through me to the hearts of the people on how, as a church community, we can fellowship together and make a difference in the lives of the people, Lord God. Be with us as you minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you look at this scripture, it starts off, and they devoted themselves. So, firstly, let's try to find out who are these people. They. Okay, who are they? To find out that in this text, you got to read the beginning of chapter 2. Okay? In chapter 2, the Bible describes people from every nation under the heaven. Okay, maybe the time they don't know how big the world is, but I believe it's not like every nation yet. It's a big group of people from a lot of different nations coming together for the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost, during the time, is a religious festival. Kind of like our modern-day Christmas, you know, where people come together, have a great festivals, lots of food, dancing, suppose, during the time, wine, you know, just celebration. Okay, so people from different nations, when they come together, they all speak different languages, right? But they were all partying. Okay, and during the time, the Holy Spirit decided to come upon the people. Okay, when the Holy Spirit come upon all the people, they started to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues means they're just beginning to speak in a language that suddenly everybody can understand. So this is what the Holy Spirit enabled them to do. It's like, you know, when you walk into the auditorium, Talofa Lava! Goemora. Good morning, mate. Good morning. How are you? And then the other person says, Kumusta? Kumusta? Oh, 我很好。 Sudah makan? Hand. Arigato gozaimasu. If you have a subtitle, that scene would have translated into, hello, good morning. Good morning, mate. How are you? I'm very good. Have you had lunch? Yes. Thank you very much. But they were all speaking in different languages. It's just that the subtitles started to appear in their head, and everybody was able to understand each other. Then Peter, while that was happening, Peter, the one that Gani preached about 2 weeks ago, you know, he stood up and started to preach the gospel to all the people. Okay? About 3,000 people believed and were added to the church that day. Okay. So this 3,000 people, it's they. Okay, trivial questions. Who are they? 3,000 people from different nations, okay? They can understand subtitles. So when these 3,000 people, they were added to the church, did they start going to church? No, of course not. Okay, because the church, there's no church yet. Okay, there's no building, there's a temple, but you know, they were celebrating on Pentecost. The Bible just said that they gathered and they become the church. This is our first church. A lot of scholar refers to in the Bible. It's the first church, these 3,000 old people. They were the first church. And what do they like to do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, praising God, to prayers. Okay, that's what these new converts like to do. Okay. Really, one of the evidence of a person who's become a Christian, a newborn Christian, which if you remember when Pastor Richard started the series, it's like newborn baby craving for the milk. Okay. One of the evidence of someone who really becomes a Christian is their desire to know more about the Word of God, to learn more about the Word of God, and to be among church people. Okay? I remember first chick flick coming up. I remember PJ Chuling, when he first got saved. Right. He started on a purple book journey immediately with Pastor Richard. Okay? So some of you are asking questions. Purple book, when you get saved, don't you do the one-to-one? Okay, forget about the technicalities. That was our previous history. Now if you get saved, or if you're on a journey to discover God, we will first do one-to-one, all right? But PJ started to do Purple Book with Pastor Richard. Now, Pastor Richard is a white Kiwi man. Are you? He's a white Kiwi man. For our visitors, he's a white Kiwi man. PJ is an island man. Okay? There are some cultural nuances there, okay? For PJ to be able to want to meet with Pastor Richard on a weekly basis, it got to be the Holy Spirit. let me just explain a little bit, all right? In the island world, the Samoan world, the pastors are normally put on the pedestals. They're like, they're the pastors, okay? And in order for you to meet the pastors, normally, you have to bring groceries, you have to bring gifts to the pastor's house. That's how the culture world happens. In fact, I had an experience before where people actually brought groceries to my house. I was like, eh? And when they left, they gave me some money. I was like, eh? I was from Southside, so we have a lot of island families. But so for PJ to be able to do that, his hunger to learn the Word of God must be stirred by the Holy Spirit. Must be really stirred by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Not only that, okay, besides the desire to learn God's word, PJ also wanted to hang around church family. So he started coming to my connect group because he was staying in Papatuitui and I was out east. So he started to come to my connect group, hang around with some Asians, some South Africans. We took a drive to North Shore and he was chucked into Mike Bugay's house, if Mike remembered that, and his eyes were opened by all the Filipinos. We had a great time. And another miracle happened. PJ moved in and stayed with Pastor Richard. Okay, here we are. We talk about attending weekly one to a purple book. That's one thing. To move in to a Palangi house. For our visitors, migrants who don't understand the word Palangi, it's a Samoan word for white people. Right, to move into a Palangi house, not just any Palangi, a white Senior Pastor Palangi house. And the miracle is, Pastor Richard is staying on North Shore. If you stay in Auckland long enough, you know that for any island man to cross the North Shore, they need a passport. That's their mindset. All right? That's their mindset. So I don't know what PJ was thinking. He must be desperate. He must be desperate to really become the church. Okay? He was discipled by Pastor Richard. They spent a lot of time together, sharing a lot of things which I will not mention here. It's a chick flick story, but I will not mention the details. Eventually, PJ got baptized. He and Marissa, his wife, got married. And on their wedding, they dedicated their son to the Lord. On that, I remember I was attending that wedding. It was a glorious display of God's grace and goodness. Not just to the family, but all the family that were attending that wedding. It was beautiful. Redemption, restoration, faith. So I was speaking to PJ the other day, and I said, what would happen, PJ, if it wasn't for the church community that's surrounding you, walking around you, and supporting you? Okay. I was asking PJ about that, but why don't we invite PJ up and get him to answer that question? Come on, PJ. This is Mr. Chuling, Palani Jr. Chuling. He's a good-looking man here. He's a bit nervous. Are you? Yes, he is. Come on, give him a clap. So I'll ask you that question again, PJ. What would happen if it wasn't for the church community that's around you, supporting you, and cheering you on your journey from when you first got saved to where you are right now?
And there must be something inside those dumplings that I'm not. Sorry. When I was nearly saved, I was living in an unhealthy environment, and I needed to move. And the last place that I thought I would be at, Pastor Rich's house. So all my preconceptions went out the door. It was better for me because Palangi again. And so living in a healthy environment I witness and experience and learn what a family feels like. I needed a father figure that walked alongside me. When I fell, he said, "Hey, it's okay, let's start again." And also remember my dearly mom, Chrissy, for love on me like her own son. That's something that I still hold dear to my heart. And the church family, my journey, it helped me open new friendship and helped me to trust people, to learn to trust people. I can't do it on my own. Otherwise I wouldn't be all forward back to my own place.
So are you saying, PJ, that if you try to get through this life on your own, trying to do this Christianity alone, you will probably fall?
Yes.
Are you saying that even a strong man like you, if I charge on you, an Asian man like me, you will fall?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
I didn't see that one coming, but yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to call my boys.
You're going to call your boys?
Come on, Savior and Isaac, come on.
So you're going to call your boys. I'm going to get ready. All right, you made your point. You see, we all need brothers hanging around. Give them a clap. We all need each other. If you think you're strong, the enemy can be so sneaky and come after you and still get to you. But if you have men, brothers and sisters around you, giving a good scrum, they will not be able to push you down. So, these disciples, all who believe were together. They got saved, they were all together. And they shared lives. All things in common. They begin to share lives. And they begin to meet each other's need. All right? And they are actually really enjoying one another with glad and generous heart. Right? In other words, they are real to each other. So let me ask you again, okay? How are you? Now, nobody is so quick to give the answer, I'm good. Some of us are actually going through tough times, but in front of church family, a lot of times when we walk past it, how are you? I'm good. I just smacked my son around the head this morning. But I'm good. How are you? I'm good. I just got fired yesterday. How are you? I'm good. I just got kicked out from my house. But a lot of times we stop at how are you? I'm good. When we are willing to move beyond the pretext of I'm good, tough times can actually knit the hearts of our people together. It creates a platform of trust and acceptance. We may not be the solution, and sometimes most of the time, we may not know what to say. But our presence and support may just be the strength and peace that the other person needs. Some of our closest spiritual family, Kelly and I, our family, some of our closest spiritual family in here are those that we have actually gone through tough times together. I remember Kelly and I, we were with this in one of our connect group settings, after the pretext of how are you, I'm good, somehow God orchestrated the situation where the other members were not around, and it was just Kelly and I with this couple. And they began to share to us that their challenges, they actually have a child that's going through depression. And not just that, on self-harm. Well, both Kelly and I, we are not expert in dealing with psychology, self-harm situation. But what we did was we stood with their family. We prayed with their family. We were there when they needed somebody to just share their burden. That's what we can do. So I asked that person recently, I said, again, the same question, what would happen if the church community didn't intervene? You see, during that time, it was not just Kelly and I. Some other pastors and ministers who actually know of psychologists intervened. They provided a reference to the family. The church even gave financial support to help the family through. So I asked the dad recently, what would have happened if the church didn't intervene and we were not there to support you? That's it. Things would have gotten a lot worse. You know, if they are shameful about the whole situation, culturally, you know, people will judge us, we cannot tell anyone. What would happen? Things would have gotten a lot worse. And they would probably have left New Zealand. There was another situation where a family was accused by authority over something that they did not do. The whole accusation causes a lot of stress and uncertainty for the family. Initially, the family didn't want anyone to know because of fear, shame, or rejection. When I found out about it, I have to admit, right, I did not handle it well pastorally. Sometimes pastors make mistakes. So, but by the grace of God, you know, I went there and apologized, reaffirming of our love and support. I invited them to join us for a weekend away. So during that time when we were away, we had a lot of laughter, a lot of food, of course, and we had a lot of prayers, and it was just relaxing. So I asked the dad, I said, tell me, what did you feel after that weekend? How did you feel? They said, they felt acceptance, peace, and a renewed faith to face the situation. Okay? Did we solve the problem? No, we didn't. But as a family, as a church community, we were there, right? To support and to provide comfort. Okay? By the way, the authority did not proceed with the case because it was not true, right? And much more so, because in Psalms 34:15 it says, the eyes of the Lord are with the righteous. All right? So God came through for them. So a few chicks flicked so far. Can you handle two more? Wow, you guys are like, yeah. I can see Joshua and is like, chick flicks, come on. I'll give you two more. Okay. We all need each other. Even connect group leaders and pastors. Okay, sometimes, you know, you guys sitting down at the back there thinking, oh yeah, we need the leaders to be with us. But did you know that connect group leaders and pastors like us, we go through life challenges also? Okay. Kelly and I, we were going through a rough patch in our marriage. So, yeah. I'm sorry, our marriage are not perfect. If you have a perfect marriage, maybe you can talk to me later and I can confide in you. But Kelly and I, we have a rough patch on our marriage. I remember there was one time, I'm laughing now, but actually not so funny. There was one time, it got so bad, I left the house at night and I drove straight to Pastor Rich's house. I remember I went to the house, I stood at the door. I can hear laughters in the house. They were having family dinner. It was a Sabbath. I was like, okay, I won't go in. I was a little bit shy, I was a little bit fearful, rejection, right? I'm a pastor and I'm having this problem. So I went back to my car. I actually sat in the car for half an hour. Should I go? Should I go back? Should I go? Should I go back? Should I go? Well, eventually I got down on my car. I went, tok, 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 tok. And then when Pastor Richard opened the door, he saw me and he knew there was a problem. He said, Chrissy, Alfred and I will just be in the bedroom. Took me in the bedroom, which spoke, made some arrangement. And I think on the same week, both Chrissy and Pastor Richard came to our house, sought us out, minister to us, hold Kelly accountable. No, actually. Actually. Oh, no. Okay, actually, hold both of us accountable. Okay, hold both of us accountable on certain things that we need to do and to get back on track with our marriage. And you know, if you know, Pastor Richard and I, we are sharing an office upstairs. So once in a while, he'll ask me, "Hey, have you been living on your wife?" "Oh, I haven't." So I quickly do what I need to do. Okay. So even leaders, we need. Even my senior pastor, okay, their life is on display, right? There was one staff meeting. The meeting went very well, but Pastor Richard was a little bit quiet on that day. If you know Pastor Richard, he's normally not quiet on staff meeting, okay? Right, staff? So he was a little bit quiet, and you know, after the staff meeting, I just went back to my office. That time we were not sharing in the office yet; we were in the old office. So I have my little room, and I was just doing my thing. And he came in, he shuts the door, and he just sat down, and he began to share with me a family crisis that has just happened. Wow! I was sitting there, I was stunned, and I didn't even say a word. I found myself crying. So why am I crying? It's like, this chick flick is too intense. He was sharing and he was crying, and then I found myself crying. And all I could do is put my arms around my pastor and we pray. Thank God, God intervened and turned that situation around. And that mess has become a message right now. That test has become a testimony right now. So I'm thankful for men, for pastors, for leaders, not just pastors, but for leaders, and even some of the men that I walk with, that I can be real with. My hope is that when we remove the pretense and truly love one another and truly be there for one another, it will be a reflection of God's love to others that do not know Him. Okay? Because in the Bible, this is what Jesus commanded His disciples to do. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So what is Jesus really saying? Jesus is saying, by our love, people are able to see. Okay? If we go back to our text, you will notice that an awe came upon every soul, not just the 3,000, but every person that can see that 3,000 sharing lives, doing life together. They were all in awe. They're like, "Oh, wow." And they begin to have favor with all the people. Okay, so it is sometimes when we skim through this text, we're thinking, "Oh, it's just the disciples themselves, the Christian themselves are enjoying it." But no, the people around them were in awe. And they began to gain favor. And with that, the Lord began to add to their numbers day by day. Okay, what does that mean? That means when the people sees the love that they have one another, sees that they are sharing with one another, they want a little bit of that. They want to explore who is this Jesus that they're talking about that enable them to love one another. There's a quote by Francis Schaeffer that says, "Our relationship with each other is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetics." You see, we can preach all we want, but if our lives do not reflect it, people will not believe it. You can attend and go to church every Sunday, but until you become the church and be in the church community, be a church community to one another, your life will not matter. Your life will not change. You can do all the religious activities. Come, do a prayer, give some offering into the money bag. But if you don't share lives, how would other people know that God has made a difference in your life? You see the story of PJ and Marissa. Another family saw what has happened to them, a transformation of God's grace and goodness. And they started to come to church. They gave their lives, and now they are serving in the church. The authority, remember the authority that was handling the case of that accused family? She was amazed by the Christian conviction and their Christian faith, even through the whole thing. And from being hostile, they started to have coffees together. My ex-colleague wanted to explore God because of the bromance that I have with Jerick. Jerick and I, we were working together and we were sharing each lives. And when he saw that, he's like, wow, what does this guy have that I don't? And he wanted to explore. You see, sometimes we're afraid to talk about God, to share the Gospels. But if you live life as God intended it to be in a church community that supports one another, they will see the reflection of God through you. True church community reflects God to the world. It is not just for us. It is not just for us. It is for the people. So church, even as we are closing, I want to give an opportunity for us to respond. Okay? There's two group of people that I want to address. Maybe what we can do is I'll get all the ministers, the prayer team, the ministry team up. Maybe I'll get you guys to maybe close your eyes, not to be weird or being religious, but really to allow yourself to respond to this message and to give privacy to one another. So maybe, yeah, if you can close your eyes. The first group of people that I want to talk to is, if you do not know Christ and if you're not part of a church community and you're saying, Pastor, I want to start the journey to explore this Jesus that you talk about that has transformed so many of the lives that's on display. I know that I want to begin this journey to know Jesus, to be His disciples. If you have not known Jesus yet and want to begin this journey to explore and know God, on the count of three, would you lift up your hand so that we can acknowledge that and we can help you on that journey? So I'll count to three. And I'll give you an opportunity to respond. One, two, three. If you want to begin to know the journey, please raise your hand right now. Okay. For the second group of people, If you've been attending church, if you've been coming to church, but you have not really been plucked into the church community, you've been coming in every Sunday, or even if you're visiting right now, and you said, I want to be plucked into this church community. Okay. You don't have to respond right now, but do speak to one of our leaders, one of our minister team, to help you in this journey. But what I really want to address is, if you've been hurt by the church, or you've been rejected, you've been judged wrongfully by the church, or you have things that you know that God wants you to deal with right now so that you could truly walk in this church community. As we begin to do the song, I want to invite you to come up and approach one of our prayer teams to pray for you, to minister to you. It doesn't matter if you are a one-month-old Christian, or even if you're a leader, a Connect Group leaders, if that is a struggle that you're having right now, I invite you to come up. All right? We are here to be real and to support one another. Okay, so even as the team begins to sing the song, if that is you, please join us. Please come up to the front.